This morning, the message, the title of the message, again, will be in the form of a question. And the title this morning is, Are We Increasing? Now, when I say we, I'm talking about as a church, as a whole. As a church, are we increasing? Now, I know it's another general question for you today. The word increase, basically, are we growing? Are we enlarging? Now, I think the first thought that comes to mind is the size of the church, the people, how many are here, and that's the topic for today. We're going to talk about people and a church growing in the Lord and reaching the lost. And so that's our subject this morning. You know, the church is to reach people. That's what we're here for. We're here to reach people. We're here to be a light to the community. We're here to take the gospel out to the lost, and we're here to reach out to our neighbors, our friends, our families, to anyone that'll listen, to anyone that God brings across our path as we live life here on earth. Yes, the Lord is the one who adds to the church. But we find in the book of Acts that He adds to an active church. He adds to a church that is going out, sharing the gospel, taking the gospel out, inviting people to Christ, telling them about a Savior and how they can be forgiven and how their life can be changed. You see, the church in the book of Acts actively took the gospel out. And this morning, we're going to look at the increase of the church, how God increased and how God blessed. We're going to be in Acts chapter 6 this morning. And I want to begin reading in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7 is what we're going to read this morning. It says, And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected. It says there in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man of full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. This morning, I want to give you three considerations as far as our sermon this morning. We're going to consider the work that increased, then the workers that increased, and finally the word of God, which also increase. So this morning, let's look at this and be encouraged. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you've given. I pray as we go further into this message that you'll just open up our hearts to your word. Help us to be attentive. Help us to see what's there and help us to apply the teachings that we find. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's get started. The work increased is what I want you to notice first this morning. You know, the church was faithful to the commission. They were told to take the gospel out. They were told that they would have power. And they were told that was their first responsibility, and we find that they were faithful. The believers took the gospel out to their city, and we find that the city of Jerusalem was filled with their doctrine. People knew about Jesus Christ. They knew about the Savior that had risen. They knew about the answer to sin. People had known about Jesus Christ because of their witness. And when the world attempted to stop the apostles and the church from witnessing, the Bible tells us that they continued anyway. And when they were threatened with persecution or some trouble, the Bible tells us that they chose to obey God instead of following the directions of men or of the world. We find a faithful church, a very active church in taking the gospel out. And the results are seen here. Verse 1 of chapter 6, which we've just read, it says, In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied. So God blessed. There were more followers of Jesus Christ. People were being saved. Lives were being changed. And they were not just saved in word only. We don't find that there were some people who were just making professions. By the way, this wasn't the common thing to do in Jerusalem. It wasn't the hip thing to do. It wasn't the cool church to go be part of. Those that confessed in Christ were looked upon as being actually probably different, problematic. Some were probably even shunned from their family. And so we find that people were truly being changed. They were trusting in Christ, giving up the world, and following after the Lord. And the disciples, it says, they're multiplied. You know, if we want to increase as a church, we want to grow. And the Lord has blessed us. We have increased. If we want to continue to increase, we must faithfully tell others about Jesus Christ. That's the lesson we find here right up front. If we want the disciples to be multiplied in our church, more followers of Christ, then we must tell them about Christ so they can respond and they can be saved. You know, the Lord continued to add to this church. The gospel was presented. The Lord worked in hearts. And people responded. And the church grew. You know, the work remains the same for us today here in Little Rock, Central Baptist Church. It's our responsibility to take the gospel out so people will be saved. And then we have a place for them where they can come grow in the Lord. Grow through fellowship, through preaching, through teaching, through music, through getting involved in serving God. You know, another thought on this is the work up to this point was still incomplete. I'm the kind of person, I enjoy starting a task. I enjoy finishing it. It's nice to finish something. You start a project at home or just in your personal life. It's nice when it's complete and you can look and say, I'm done with that. Now I can move on to something else. We find in the Bible that there were often commands that were given for specific occasions. I'll give you an illustration. You go back to the Old Testament, Genesis 6. We find a man named Noah living in a very corrupt society. And God directed Noah to build an ark. God told him that it was going to rain. Even though they hadn't seen this type of rain before, he told him he was going to flood the earth. And Noah, by faith, believed in God, and he built that ark. He worked on it, him and his family. And when the time came, the Bible says that they entered into the ark. God closed the door, and they were spared. God blessed them. Well, when they stepped off the ark, when it finally settled on dry land and they stepped off, they were directed to live, basically, to reproduce and to live life on earth. Well, the work of the ark was finished. It was complete. Noah didn't go out and build another one. He didn't add on to that one as far as building it as high. It was done. It was complete. It was a job that was given to him, a task that he carried out and God blessed. Now, what we find concerning the Great Commission, taking the gospel to the lost, is it's not a task that will be complete as far as it wasn't completed by the first church. It wasn't completed by the next century or the next century. Today, it's still a work that carries on. And it's a work that'll continue until Christ returns. You see, it's the work of the church to take the gospel out, continue to take it out to our neighbors, to our friends, over and over and over. Now, we're not to be rude. We're not to be insensitive. We're not to be pushy. We're to be respectful of people. You know, if someone doesn't want to listen, don't force them to listen. Move on. That's what the Bible teaches. If God hasn't worked in their heart, then just tell someone else. But we're to take the gospel out and continue to be faithful in that. You know, the church's work. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 28. Here's another reference to the Great Commission. We find it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But Matthew 28 also gives it to us. And we'll read it here, verses 18 and 20. He says, "And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." It's a continuous task. And the work is to be carried out over and over. We're to take the gospel out. And when people respond after they're saved, they're to be baptized. And then we're to teach them the things of God. You see, that's the role of the church. Not just to take the gospel out, but to teach afterwards the things of God, and to challenge each other from God's Word. And so we find that's the work of the church, the Great Commission. And we go back to our passage here, Acts chapter 6. We find that the work increased. You know, we find that the Bible says that the disciples multiplied. He doesn't give us an exact number. But multiplied tells us that there were many. We think of multiplication. He's not talking about just adding a handful. I think he's multiplying. He's doubling it or tripling the numbers. So we find many were coming to Christ. I really believe the first church in Jerusalem was a large church eventually. It grew into a very large church. That's why there was a problem in the city. See, had it just been a handful, they'd say, "That's no big deal. It'll go away. The fad will pass, no big deal." But because people were being saved, lives were being changed, I imagine it got to the point where people in the city knew someone that was in the church. "Hey, man, that church has grown. My neighbor's in that church now, or he's been changed, or she's been changed." It was making an impact on the city. And because of this, the city itself, some of the people were having a problem with it. But the work increased. And because it increased, the people, there were more in the church. And when there's more people, it requires more attention. More teaching needs to be involved. More work is involved. So the work increased. Also, as we find in this passage, when people increase, the chances of problems increasing are also presented. And they ran into a problem. It says here in verse 1, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. As far as the work of the church, they were ministering to each other, to the believers within the church, and there was a problem. Some of the Grecians, in other words, those that were Gentiles, were looking and saying, hey, they're not treating our widows fairly like they're doing that. Now, whether or not it was true or not, that was part of the problem. There was a murmuring. They were having a problem there, and they thought they were being treated unfairly, and they thought things were not working out the way they should have been. You know, believers can disagree from time to time. That's been known to happen in churches, sometimes more than we want to admit. But believers can disagree. We can butt heads and we can have a problem and say, well, that's not right or this is incorrect. Now, in this case, it was a practical problem. I'll tell you, as a pastor, I'd rather deal with practical problems all day than doctrinal problems. Now, that's not to encourage you to create problems as a church. We don't want problems. But doctrinal problems, when you're talking about teachings, then that's a different issue because those problems can create a lot of, you know, big problems in a church as far as teaching. But when there's practical problems, those things can be dealt with in a practical way. And that's what we find here. Now, before we move on to our second point, I want to finish this thought here, the first thought. They worked, and they received more work. Now, we like to think the other way around, right? We like to work and create less work. I heard someone say, you know, you want to work smarter, not harder. Create less work for yourself when you're working, especially if you're working in your yard or in business. But this was different here as far as taking the gospel out. You see, they worked and more work came in. Now, as a church, that should be the goal. You think about it. If our church increases or we continue to increase, there's going to be more work. We're going to need more teachers. We're going to need more ministries to work and to encourage people and to bless people and to carry out the work that God has for us. But that's all right. That's a good problem, by the way, that a church can run into. As we work, we're going to have more to do. But also, we're going to see that the Lord can provide. And the Lord is able to provide for us to continue in the work. So let's just pray for our church that our work as a church will continue to increase because we're taking the gospel out and we're reaching to people and people are being saved. You know, the more people we have in our church, the more classes we'll need, the more teaching we'll need, the more involvement we'll need from other people to continue on as a church. So the work increase. Here's a second consideration I'll give to you. The workers increase. So they had an increase in work and they had a problem. Now the problem within this church disrupted the work of the God. It didn't hinder it. It didn't shut it down. I don't want to make it sound like it shut down God's work because it didn't. But the apostles were hindered in this. They had to stop and deal with this problem. Any problem within a church will hinder the work of God. Any problem at all. That's why I think as believers we should make sure we're right with God first. And that we're right with each other. Because any problem that's within a church is going to hinder God's work. Whether it's taking the gospel out or just the work was unity within the church is going to create problems. So we have the problem here that there was murmuring. And the apostles had to stop their work to deal with this issue. And the Bible says that the multitude was gathered. It says there, verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. They had a church meeting is what they had. They said, okay, guys, let's have a meeting here. I don't know if they had it on a Sunday night or if they dealt with this on a Sunday morning, but at some point they said, we're going to deal with this. And so they had the church gathered together and the church came together. And it says there in verse 2, and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve table. So they gathered the church together and they shared, first off, their calling with the church. You know, they said, guess what? It's not our business to serve tables. Now, turn if you would to Acts chapter 4. I want to show you something. In verse 35, we didn't cover this in any of our preaching, but here we find that when people began to bring to the church to be distributed, verse 35, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to as he had need. I just want to point out something. The apostles were not above this work. Let's not get that image in our mind. We don't have a group of men who are saying, we're too good for that. These men had already done that. They had already taken care of the distribution. They were already doing a lot of that work. But as the church grew, basically the men are saying, hey, this is taking too much of our time. God did not call us to do that type of work within the church. He called us to preach the gospel. He called us to take the gospel out. He called us to do the spiritual work and to pray, as we'll talk about here in a minute. And so we're not talking about a situation of men saying, oh, we don't want to do that, we can't. We're talking about a situation where men saying, hey, it's better if someone else does that so we can do this. And we can be freed up to continue the work that God has for us. So there's nothing wrong with serving. It just was not their calling. God didn't authorize them to do that. God had something else for them. You know, let's make this practical this morning. You know, we have some big corporations in Little Rock. And you have some CEOs. And I don't know any of them personally. Maybe you know some of them. But if you would drive downtown tomorrow and you saw a CEO out working janitor work or cutting grass, and there's nothing wrong with those jobs, but you would look and say, well, what's wrong with the company? If he's doing this, then his work is not being done. That's the problem. Not that he's no better or she's better or too good for it, but if their responsibility is not being carried out because they're doing something else, and there's going to be a problem within that company. You see, we have responsibility, and the apostles are saying, hey, our responsibility is to take the gospel out, to preach and teach the word of God, so that way people can be saved and people can be strengthened and encouraged. So we find here that they called them together and said, guess what? Here's what we need to do. We'll read it to you. It says, we need to, it says that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men. He says, they're of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. And he says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the apostles say, hey, we need to continue in the word of God, taking it out, and in prayer. Now, I want to talk about prayer first, just real quick. Prayer is important for all of us. If you don't pray, make time to pray. Start your day with prayer. It was David who prayed three times a day. It was Daniel who prayed three times a day. Two busy men, by the way. Took time to pray to God three times a day. Let's pray. Let's seek God in prayer. Take our problems to Him. Take our concerns to Him. Worship Him in prayer. Seek His direction. Let's pray. You see, the apostles said, we're going to pray. Ephesians chapter 6. Notice it says here, and I'll turn over there real quick to Ephesians chapter 6. And just read a passage on the importance of prayer. It says in Ephesians 6 and in verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There we find the armor of God, and part of that armor is prayer. They're to pray always. You know, Paul said, pray without ceasing. That's what he said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. You know, the apostle said, we're going to pray. By the way, pastors should be men of prayer, seeking God for not just for the lost, but for their church and for the members, praying and taking them to God and seeking God's strength, God's wisdom, God's power over temptation, God's power to do the work that God has called for them. That's prayer. And so we find that they were going to continue in prayer, but also they would continue in the ministry of the word. In other words, they'd continue witnessing, they'd continue preaching, they'd continue teaching, they'd continue the work of God. So not only the people would be saved, but those that were saved would be able to grow in the Lord. That was the work there. You know, it's a great task. It still needs to be carried out. So it says, guess what? We still have this problem. Here's what we need to do. And it's a practical solution. They said, we're going to, seven men. That's what we need, seven men. And notice the apostles didn't pick the men. The church was to pick the men. The church knew the men, the men that were faithful. He says, pick out seven of them. And we find that they were to be moral men. It says there, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men, and notice, of honest report. They didn't want any people in there that were deceiving. They didn't want any people in there that were questionable. They said they need to be honest men. They need to be honest in their business. They need to be honest in their life at home. They need to be honest in the church. You know these men. Pick out seven that are honest. Good, honest men, moral men, that have a good testimony before the people and a good testimony before the world. Also, they were to be spiritual men. It says they're full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So they said, hey, not only are they to be moral and have a good testimony, but guess what? They're to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Men that love God, men that serve God, and men that want to walk with God. Notice, saved men, surrendered men that were filled with the Spirit. You know, those are the same type of men that our church needs today. Now, I'm not saying specifically right now in a position, but as we grow, pray that God will send us men that love Him, that want to serve Him, and want to be faithful to Him in all areas of their life. And the Bible says the apostles challenged the church to pick those men out, and then they would appoint them. In other words, those men weren't chosen to lead the church or become directors of the church. They were to servants of the church. They were to work with the apostles, and they were to work within the church. Now, here's my thought on this. More workers, as we'll find, strengthened the church. You see, the more you have involved in anything will strengthen it. You think of sports. You think of, I'll just use football as an example. You know, they're allowed 11 players on the field on either side. You can be sure if they were allowed to have 12, they would have 12. If the rules change and said you can have 14, those coaches would say, well, no, I think our 11 are good enough. They're going to send out 14. You see, the more you have, the better it is. And same with the church. The more we have involved, the better it is. The stronger the church will be because you have more people getting involved. And in this case, we have men that were leaders. Now, as far as our church here this morning, I'll just say this. Pastors cannot do all the work. We can't be in two places at the same time. And so it's a blessing. And I want to thank those that are involved in our church. We have several are involved in all different areas of church ministry. Thank you. Because it's needed. It's needed for a church to grow, to have men and women as well involved. And we do have good men involved in our church. We have good women involved in our church. And thank you for that. But let's pray that others will be involved as well. Maybe one here this morning. Maybe God will work in your heart and think, well, maybe I can do something else. Maybe I can get involved more in the church this year. Maybe I can help out in some way. You know, if that's the case, I encourage you to pray over it. I tell you what, we got plenty of work to do here. If someone wants to get involved, there is something that can be done. Now, there's always more to do when it comes to God's work. If nothing else, there's more lost people in this world, more souls to reach. We can all take the gospel out. You know, as far as Christians and God's work, you look around, there is no Christian that should ever complain about being out of work when it comes to God's work. There are so many souls that need to hear about Christ. Even in our city, there are so many people, young people, older people, that just need to hear about Christ. Now, some have heard about Christ, but maybe they've never heard in a way that is clear. We need to clarify it to them, what Christ has done so they can be saved. You see, there is so much work to be done. Let's just get involved. Let's get involved and let's pray that God will bless us with more in our church. Here's a third consideration this morning, the word increase. Notice what happened here in verse 7. Well, we'll read verse, they picked out the seven, they put them before the apostles. Verse 6 says, when they set them before the apostles and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Verse 7, and the word of God increased. The number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, what I want to draw your attention to this morning is this is a different increase than verse 1. They're not the same. The church had multiplied. Then the church ran into a problem. The church solved the problem with God's help, God's direction. More people got involved, and we find that the church multiplied again. They continue to increase is what the Bible tells us there. We find, first off, that the Word of God increased is what we're going to talk about. The Word of God increased. So, for it to increase, that means it had to continue to go out. You see, to increase means to grow or to be enlarged. So, the Word of God grew or it enlarged. In other words, it increased as far as it was more successful, more influential in the community, in the city, in the area. More people were hearing about Christ. More people were knowing that their sins could be forgiven. Also, as far as its effect, evidently, from this passage, more people responded. They believed on Jesus Christ. They accepted Him as their Savior. And it says there, the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Now, it doesn't give us numbers again. But I think it's more than one, or two, or three, or four, or five. Maybe it was hundreds. Maybe it was thousands. There are some historians believe that it's talking about thousands here. We know on that first day of Pentecost, after it was preached, at least 3,000 came to Christ on that day. You see, we find that the Word of God increased, disciples multiplied greatly. And this morning, I want to just say this. I think it was a direct result of the apostles being free to do God's work and the new men getting involved. You see, the work was there, workers increased, and it was a direct result. People responded and the gospel went out. You see, the apostles were able to dedicate more time to God's word. They were free to share the word. They didn't have to go and deal with some of the problems. They were free to do this, and they were able to do what God called them to do. And the new men were involved. They were able to go out as well. And you know, Acts chapter, at the end of this chapter, and also Acts chapter 7, we find a couple of those men preached and taught. So these men were not just doing the physical work, they were doing the spiritual work as well. They were involved in taking the gospel out. You know, the hindrances were removed is what happened. Sometimes a church will have hindrances. That's why a church will stop growing. You know, some people call them sticking points. You read about churches, they'll say there are sticking points in churches. You know, the first one, of course, is just getting started, getting going. A church will get started, maybe a man or his family will go out and they'll start a church. And just getting enough to purchase a building maybe, to get things going, there's a sticking point there. What they say by sticking point is churches will often get 30 people, 40 people, but then there's a point where they need to get more so they can really get a building and really start having an effect in the community, and sometimes that's a struggle. And then another one comes, they say, later. After a church, you know, gets a building and the Lord blesses and they grow, then all of a sudden, sometimes it'll just stop. People won't be involved. Now, that's not saying the church has gone bad or anything like that, but the church will just no longer increase. You know, that can happen to any church at any time. And as a church, we want to make sure we're continuing to take the gospel out. We're focusing on the work that God has us. And that means we need to remove any hindrances. Now, as a pastor, I don't think there's any hindrances in our church right now. But as believers, we need to make sure there's nothing in our life that is hindering God's work. Not just for the church, but for your own relationship with God. This morning, make sure there's nothing in your life that's hindering your relationship with God. If there's sin in your life, confess it and forsake it and serve the Lord. If there's something else that's preventing you, maybe something is keeping you from serving God, whatever it is, then take it to the Lord and address it. You know, life is short. It'd be terrible for a believer to live life and be miserable because of the hindrances that are there instead of enjoying the life that God has given them here on earth. You see, remove the hindrances if they appear. And that's what the church did. There was a hindrance there. Not the people, the problem within the people. And they didn't remove people. They removed the problem by getting more workers, and the problem was removed. And then here we find, as far as the Word of God increased, the Word of God changed lives. And that's what we're going to leave you with here. It says the number of disciples multiplied greatly. Not because the apostles were anything. Not because the church was anything. Because of the Word of God. The Word of God increased is what happened. Many souls were saved. They followed after the Lord. It tells us even there that a great company of priests, it says there at the end of verse 7, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now this tells us how powerful God's Word is. A great company of the priests. These were the men who knew the Old Testament law. These were the men who were dedicated to the religion that they grew up with. Faithful. And the Bible tells us that many of them trusted in Christ as their Savior. That's how powerful the Word of God is. Also, here's another thought on this, or at least my thought on this. It's encouraging to know that those that may appear to be the hardest to reach can be saved. I imagine some of them may have thought, you know, the priests being saved? Well, look, many of them were. You know, this morning, there are people in this world that need to hear about the gospel. And let's not limit the power of God. Let's just tell them. You never know how God may work in their heart. You never know how prepared their heart may be to hear the gospel, to hear the truth. And you never know, they may be looking for something. And you can share Christ with them, and they can be saved. See, we find that all people from all classes in Jerusalem were trusting in Christ. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, this morning, I hope and pray everyone here is saved. But what we find in Jerusalem is still true today. The gospel is not for one group of people. The gospel is not just for one age group or one race or for one nation. The gospel is for all that are in this world. You know, we're all sinners before God. We all need a Savior, and Jesus Christ died for your sins so you can be saved. If there's someone here this morning that is concerned or maybe even certain they're not saved, I can tell you this with confidence: you trust in Christ, you can be saved. Jesus Christ will save sinners. And that's what the Bible teaches. You know, the Word of God is what made the difference. I think the Word of God made the difference. And so this morning, let's make less of ourself and more of the Word. Let's promote the Word of God. Let's share it with people. Also, let's make less of our church and more of the Word. Yes, we want to invite people to church, but we want to invite them here so they can hear the Word. Not so they can just come and be in the building, but so they can hear the Word of God. See, let's make more of the Word. Let's share the Word of God with people. You know, in closing this morning, we want to increase as a church. As a pastor, I pray our church increases and that we grow in number. I'm thankful you're here this morning. You know, and I say this, and I know sometimes I say it, and it comes across in a way that is humorous, but it's true. You know, as a pastor, it's better to preach to people than empty pews. And it may come across as humorous, but when you think about it, it's true. As a pastor, it's better to preach to people. And the more people, the better it is. The more people we can reach and share about Christ and encourage from God's Word. So we find in this passage that the work increased. Now, work is good. We want work to increase. We want more work to do as a church, as believers. We want more to do as far as working for the Lord. Also, we find that with that work came some problems, but with God's power and strength, those problems were removed, and workers increased. You know, that's our prayer as well, that more get involved. Maybe here this morning, some God will work in your heart in different areas of this church to get involved in different areas. Pray that God will send others from outside the church. Maybe we'll see souls saved that will get involved. Also, the Word of God must be proclaimed. Let's not forget that it's the Word of God that makes a difference. You know, this is where, as a pastor, and I share with the church, we got to be careful. We have to be careful because it's so easy as a church just to become number-oriented. It's so easy as a church just to become focused on getting people in the building that we lose sight of the Word of God. And some churches have done that. It's become more about entertainment. It's become more about how many numbers they can get in there and they can count and they can share with people how big their church. And so what's happened is the Word has been set aside. The Word of God is, in some places, not even preached. You just have motivational, encouraging speeches. It's no longer challenging people to live according to what God has said. So we never want to lose sight of our purpose, and that's the Word of God. I'm going to illustrate this, and we'll get ready to wrap up our message here this morning. The late minister, Clovis Chappell, used to tell a story of two steamboats. They left Memphis at about the same time, down the Mississippi River, and they were heading towards New Orleans. As they traveled side by side, sailors from one vessel began to, you know, make remarks towards the sailors of the other vessel. Stuff like, you're slow, we're faster than you. You know how that goes, back and forth. Well, after a while, those remarks turned into challenges. Well, I bet we can do this, I'm sure we're faster than you, and so forth. Well, it didn't take long for a competition to be set up down that river. And both those steamboats took off roaring down just flying down the Mississippi River. And after a while, one of them began to lag behind. They were running out of fuel. Now, they had enough coal for the trip, but they didn't plan on a race. And so they were running out of fuel, and the other one is ahead. Well, one, I guess, a enterprising young sailor looked over. He was frustrated because they were losing and being laughed at. And he picked up a box of goods and just chucked it into the oven. Well, to his surprise, those goods burned as well as the coal. Some of the other sailors saw it and they began to throw the other goods in there. Well, what eventually happened is they won the race, but they burned up their cargo. I guess they could brag, but they failed to carry out their mission. You know, in closing this morning, we want our church to increase. We want it to be done correctly. We want it to be done the way God has directed. We don't want to lose sight of His Word. You see, it's not about growing so we can simply have numbers. We don't want to fill this church just to fill it. You see, it's not about doing it so we can influence others. It's not about doing it so we can purchase better facilities. It's about reaching lost souls, is what it's about. It's about people. You know, every person you come across this week, here's something to think about, and I'll leave you with this. Every person you come across this week has a soul. They'll spend eternity somewhere. I don't know where, it's between them and God. But they'll either spend it in heaven or they'll spend it in hell. Everyone. Whether they're someone you come across at work, someone you come across at the grocery store this afternoon, every single person has a soul. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful my soul is secure and I'm going to spend it with God. I begin to thank my family and friends. I'm thankful that those that I know of are saved. I'm thankful for their salvation. I hope and pray everyone here is saved. But as we go out into this world, let's remember it's about people. It's about reaching them where they are. You know, they're no different than us. If they're lost, they're just without Christ. We're no better than them. If we're saved, it's because we're sinners saved by God's grace. And we have the salvation that is needed by those in this world. So this morning, let's take that gospel out. Let's pray that God will increase not only our work, but our workers, and that the Word of God will be increased in the city, and that our church, as a direct result, will be increased as we do the Lord's work. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings You've given. I pray that You'll just work in hearts here today as we have this invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here, I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a few minutes. We're just going to have an invitation. We're going to take time here this morning. If God has worked in your heart in any way, you can seek Him in prayer. Perhaps you want to pray for our church. Perhaps you want to pray for our city, the souls. Maybe you have some people in mind specifically that you'd like to pray for. I encourage you this time, pray for them. Go to God. If there's one here this morning that has any questions concerning salvation, maybe you're not sure that you're saved, you've been in church, you've been good, but you're just not sure about salvation, this is an opportunity. You can come down and we won't embarrass you. What we'll do is someone can take the Bible and they can show you what the Bible says about salvation and how you can know that your sin is forgiven and how you can know that you're saved and that all things are right between you and God. If you have any questions on salvation, please come down this morning. As the piano begins to play, I encourage you to seek the Lord out in prayer if He has worked in your heart. This morning, we're not going to delay our invitation any longer, but if God has worked in your heart, I encourage you to seek Him in prayer. Take time this afternoon to go to the Lord in prayer. We can seek Him at any time. So I encourage you to pray, Lord. It's good to see you out this morning. We're going to close with a word of prayer.